Mark Wagner is used to getting attention for his classic VW bug. Mint condition, convertible, beautiful. But his favorite part is when people notice what's going on in the engine. See, a few years ago, Wagner made a change and his 62 ragtop went from sounding a little like this to sounding like this.
What's funny is how few people notice that it's quiet. They're like, there's something missing. It's fantastic when they figure it out.
That's right. He went electric. I'm Gustavo Arellano. You're listening to The Times, daily news from the LA Times. It's Tuesday, July 5th, 2022. Classic cars are a staple of California culture, but they have a dirty secret. They're gas guzzlers. So now collectors are beginning to solve that problem by making their rides electric. And everyone else wants in. Everyone wants an EV these days. Gas prices, the whole global warming thing, and just also because they're cool, you know? But today, my colleague Ron White tells us the lengths some Californians are going to get their hands on one. Ron, welcome to the Times.
Thank you very much, Gustavo. Thank you.
So the first person I knew who ever bought a Tesla was my cousin Blas. And I remember when he bought it, we made fun of him for buying what we thought was going to be a loser car. And here we are almost a decade later. And the demand for not just Teslas, but electric vehicles, it's completely out of control.
The demand is very high. There have been reports that as many as 1 in 4 people are saying that they want their next car to be an EV. You will find incredibly long waiting lists for these companies. But my wife has an EV. Her lease ran out a year ago. There are no new versions of her car, and she's very loyal. She loves her car, so she wants another one just like it, and they're not available.
So if there's a demand, you'd think there'd be a supply. I mean, I learned that in high school economics, but we know that the past couple of years have messed up that old economics rule. So what happened?
We started writing about this in 2021 when the supply chain disruption occurred, and there weren't enough ships. There was incredibly high demand, probably because we've been so pent up in our houses for so long at the time. So there was booming demand, but these companies are having a big problem firing up their production. One particular company, it's got a very snazzy new EV pickup truck. They were promising to build 25,000 this year. And as of May, I think they were about 5,000. So the production problems are tremendous. A lot of ocean-bound shipping companies mothballed their fleets and then had to restart them. And it was the first time in my memory that the entire supply chain was a mess. It was the factories in China that continued to close because of COVID. It was a lack of shipping. It was a lack of dock workers to unload the ships. The trains that moved the cargo once it's left the ship, they were also backed up as much as 3-4 miles at times. There's a shortage of truck drivers. Pretty much any part of the supply chain that you could think of wasn't working properly. And that was a very rare thing.
Every step of the way, that was just incredible. And then on top of all that, people just wanted those EVs more than ever before.
I looked at the fuel prices today. And it's terrible. Every day is a record. Regular gasoline in California is selling for an average of $6, which is just unbelievable when you think about it. What makes this worse is that in the past, we've had spikes before, but they went away after a while. They didn't always come back down to where they were, but they came back down. This is just continuing to go up and up, and there's no end in sight to it. We are now about to have a total of, I believe, 98 companies who are in the development stage and are planning EVs. They range from luxury editions to, unfortunately, not enough of those that are affordable. It's something that probably would have changed car buying quite a bit if not for these other factors that we're having to deal with.
Damn. And so because of that, people are starting to get creative about getting EVs. And you've been writing about some of the ways they've done that. And one of the things that people are doing now is converting their regular gas cars to EVs. So how does that happen?
We went down to one of California's premier EV conversion companies. It's called EV West, which is down in the San Diego area, run and owned by Michael Bream.
Here's the rear pack, front pack, whole drive. Here's our Tesla motor.
The guy running it is a hot rodder. He says that first and foremost, and as a secondary thing, he's an environmentalist. He manages to salvage EV batteries from wrecked Teslas. You would be surprised at the number of wrecked Teslas there are out there.
Oh, boy.
You talk about, conspicuous consumption. He had a situation where a guy had just bought one, wrecked it, and said, do you want it? And he just had bought a new one the next week. So this is ridiculous. So anyway, he's at any given time, he's got four or five of these things sitting out there looking very forlorn and being picked apart for the batteries, especially.
Probably 10 years ago, I realized, all I want is a classic Beetle, but with an electric motor in it. And then it dawned on me, somebody must do that.
And what he does is for one of the people we wrote about, Mark Wagner, and his 62 Ragtop VW, he used about a third of the battery, and it's getting him about 100 miles per charge, which is fine for him and his daily commute.
Boy, it was a good time to convert my car. I mean, it saved me money right away anyway, but now with the gas prices being what they are, everybody's paying $100 to fill the tank, if not more. And
the EV conversion of the VW was about $16,000, so it's not cheap in some of these situations.
Your customer's typically going to spend $20,000 on the parts and typically $20,000 for installation.
Okay.
Tax and an option or two here or there, a heater, air conditioner, you're going to round out around $45,000 out the door.
Okay. We also had Tony Hawk's Corvette Stingray up on the racks.
So this is Tony Hawk's car. It's a 1964 Corvette.
That was a luxury conversion, but he is able to mate the electronic vehicle drivetrain and in some cases, preserve the aesthetic of the original, like the gas gauge is now the battery monitor and that sort of thing. So it depends on what you want and how much you're able to pay in some cases.
Yeah, the price tag is so high for these conversions. So why do you think people are willing to shell out so much money for these old cars?
Some of these older cars are just falling apart. They're very hard to maintain. You look at Tony Hawk's car, he was actually driving it down to the EV garage and it limped into the parking lot and died. He's saying, this is why I'm here. So part of it is to preserve the ability to continue to enjoy the cars without worrying about breaking down in the middle of nowhere. The other part of it is environmental. If you've ever been behind a classic car with your windows open, you will get a whole bunch of fumes. And so it's not fun. So this is a way for them to enjoy their classic car guilt-free.
A car like this being electrified can do more to excite car guys and car people about the coming change to a sustainable energy. I think there's just a sense of independence that comes with this, that because of the war and supply chain issues and all that, I think it makes this more attractive.
Yeah, I got old cars, a 68 VW bus, a 73 Eldorado convertible, a 79 Ford Ranger pickup. They're beautiful, and then all of a sudden they break down. But I don't have $50,000 to convert them into electricity. Not yet, at least. One day, maybe.
The thing about it is that if you go to a place like EV West, you are paying a lot because these are really skilled technicians that are doing these things. But one of my favorite places to look for this is YouTube. It's a do-it-yourself paradise, people who are converting their EVs.
Today, we're going to show you how to convert this 1969 Karmann Ghia into an electric vehicle.
Everything is here, man, for a DIY EV for, a few grand.
We set ourselves a challenge. Can we convert this Volkswagen Beetle from petrol to electric in a day?
They claim to have done some for about $5,000. There's one guy who's claiming to have done it for under $2,000. And what it depends on is keeping your expectations in check. You're not going to very likely get a Tesla range on your conversion. And if you're willing to settle for 100 miles, which is pretty good, or even less, it's going to be much easier for you. So that's an important factor. But there are options that people can investigate.
after the break, how the Netflix of cars might actually make electrifying affordable. Ron, not all of us are gearheads. Not all of us know how to navigate YouTube, even me. And so some people just go on waiting lists. But you actually talked to someone who found a way around the Tesla waiting list.
Bonnie Velasquez had actually ordered a Tesla and was just tired of waiting for it.
I had decided that I wanted a Tesla specifically because I commute. So at the first of the year, I ordered one through Tesla. And there's a wait. It's very hard right now for people to get cars.
And she heard about this company called Autonomy. She thought it must be a scam throughout the whole thing. She just didn't believe this. When she called, they said, "We need your driver's license. Do you need anything else?" No. They got back to her in a day and a half and said, "Okay, your car, your Tesla Model 3 is ready. Come get it."
So I scheduled it the very next day on the app. I just clicked the button, pick it up the next day, 9:30 in the morning, and we drove out there.
She's still not really believing this. She went down with her husband. She's told to go to a parking garage in Santa Monica, which is just fueling her ambivalence about this whole thing and thinking that this is crazy.
We pull in and there's two guys standing there with all the Teslas in at first. You know, and I told my husband either we're getting scammed or whatever, we're going to figure it out, but it'll be worth it. Because if this is a real thing, this is a really good deal.
And there it is. It's got a bow on it. It's a Model 3. They showed her how to use it, and they said bye-bye, and she's got it. It's a subscription service in that you're not tied in for 3 years. You only have to keep it for 3 months. The way it works through Autonomy is that your down payment is lower than it would be if you got it directly through Tesla. Your monthly price is less than the monthly price for a Tesla. The only drawbacks is that you have to like a Model 3. That's all they have right now. Not everybody likes the Model 3, but she was thrilled.
It looks pretty cool that you're able to get one so fast, because nobody can get them right now. So everyone's like, "Oh, look at you, you got your car." And I'm like, "That's just because I'm dope."
And some of these people are folks that live in apartments. EVs have gotten into the point where they're like a gasoline-powered car. It's got 358 miles range or something of that sort. So she really only has to charge it once a week. So it doesn't matter that she doesn't have a charging station in her apartment building or a garage where she can charge her own car. So she's extremely happy, and she's getting about the same range as she got in her old gas car.
Where is Autonomy getting its cars?
They are taking advantage of people who are tired of waiting for Tesla cars. Each of these cars are built to specifications for an exact person. And if you've been on that list for 1 year, 2 years, people do drop out, even though they've put down a $1,000 deposit. And so he has been able to acquire those dropout cars, and he didn't want anybody to think that he's somehow jumping ahead of Tesla owners who are waiting.
Yeah.
These are not cars that have gone anywhere. The person who applied for them just dropped out, was tired of waiting. And so he has been able to acquire these at the manufacturer's suggested retail price. And the thing about EVs is that unlike any other car, which has begun to depreciate as you drive it off the lot, these things are appreciating.
Mm.
So he figures that he'll have this car out there for 3 years, and it'll probably be worth a substantial amount of money. So that's how his business model actually works.
So we've talked about conversions and subscriptions, but how far do each of those go towards meeting the demand that people have for EVs right now?
Not very far. As far as I know, that this is the only company offering subscriptions. Again, the shortage is difficult. It's a shortage that affects all parts of the automotive industry, in that it's a shortage of semiconductors. I think we're down to like basically one big factory in Taiwan that makes most of the semiconductors. It's a problem that's not going to go away. And there are even bigger problems looming in the future. It won't get any better in the coming years if these predictions are true.
And we're going to talk about that after the break. Ron, you hinted at problems of getting EVs in the future. What would actually take to get every American who wants one into one? And how likely is that going to happen?
You know, I was hoping that at some point I'd be able to see some improvement, that they're catching up and so forth, but they keep developing new problems. So we talked about the semiconductor shortage. That's something that affects the entire automotive industry. But we are now having forecasters and EV car companies talking about the fact that there will be a quote-unquote severe shortage of batteries for these cars within the next 3 years. It's hard enough to start a car company as it is, but when you also have to add to it the fact that you're going to build a factory to make batteries, which is what one car company is doing, that adds a lot to their cost. There is a shortage of lithium, which is the primary component to the batteries. You've got Elon Musk, who teases about a lot of things, but one of the things he's teasing about right now is that he's going to go into mining to mine his own lithium in order to have an actual supply. But that's something that's going to change things a little bit in terms of affordability, in terms of access to supply, and it's going to drive prices up so that the car you may have thought you could afford 3-4 years from now, it may be still pretty high in terms of costs.
What does that do then for states like California, who are saying we're going to have 35% of our vehicles be EVs by a certain point? We're going to outlaw new cars that have combustible engines. Does that then mean hydrogen cars are going to go up? Other different types of fuels are going to start happening?
It's not going to be something that they're going to be able to reach. It's a great idea. It's a very lofty plan. But they won't be able to meet those goals if there isn't enough supply in terms of vehicles. Some of my colleagues on the Times have written about hydrogen and the real pain it takes to sometimes find a station that has it. Heat affects these things somehow. They can't pump it. So hydrogen is still very far away from being a common source for this sort of solution. I don't predict things, but it sounds to me that this is going to be very difficult. These goals, which are great, they're going to be very difficult to reach.
Finally, Ron, this impacted market seems, as you said, going to be with us for a long time. And when there's something that you want that's unavailable, you eventually settle for something else. So what has this shortage of EVs cost us?
Every time there's been a fuel crisis in the past, you've seen people respond to it by finding more efficient vehicles. You know, back in the 70s, that's what happened to the transition to Japanese cars because they were smaller, lighter, and more efficient. It's really hard to get people to trust the idea of EVs. But when prices are high, they're willing to take a chance. I had a guy who has never driven anything but a big, strong, powerful pickup truck. And he just took delivery on a Tesla Model 3. That is not very common. If you live in California like we do, it's very misleading because the adoption here is quite big. But around the rest of the country, it's not so much. It's about 8% of actual drivers. But if you want to look at countries that are really ahead of the game, Germany, 1 out of every 4 drivers are driving some kind of a plug-in hybrid pure EV, which is something amazing. It just shows you how much farther ahead some countries are compared to us. And we're very far behind, unfortunately. Now the demand is there. The urge to get away from these gas prices has never been stronger. But with all these supply problems, it continues to be a missed moment, even as the demand for EVs is only going to get higher until these prices start to go down. The nice thing is that you've got a tremendous number of hybrids that are getting 45, 50, sometimes more per gallon. They're going to have to revert to some of those things until some of these problems sort out, I think.
Ron, thank you so much for this conversation.
Thank you for having me.
And that's it for this episode of The Times, daily news from the LA Times. Maya Croft was a hef on this episode, and our show is produced by Shannon Lin, Denise Guerra, Kasha Brasalian, Ashley Brown, Angel Carreras, and David Toledo. Our editorial assistant is Madeline Amato. Our intern is Surya Hendry. Our engineers are Mario Diaz, Mike Heflin, and Mark Nieto. Our editor is Kinsey Morgan. Our executive producers are Jasmine Aguilera and Shani Hilton, and our theme music is by Andrew Eben. Like what you're listening to? Then make sure to follow the Times on whatever platform you use. Don't make us to put you in podcasts. I'm Gustavo Arellano. We'll be back tomorrow with all the news in this madre. Gracias.